easy to see how we can fall into the idolatry of greed. Wealth and money, they do so much in our modern world, it's almost impossible to live in this world without thinking or without interacting with money and possessions and buying and selling, all those sorts of things. But can we really love, trust and obey our money? Can we really love, trust and obey our possessions? Well, I was reading during the week that following the global financial crisis, there was a string of tragic suicides of formerly wealthy, well-connected, contented, happy people. On the outside, that's what they look like anyway. Chief financial officer of Freddie Mac, the CEO of a leading American real estate company, a senior executive of the HSBC Bank. When the stock market collapsed, when money and wealth and everything looked like it had gone from around them, they didn't know what else to do. And so they took their life. Friends, we can love and we can serve and we can trust and obey our money. And I think we're so affluent that in the world where we constantly buy and we sell and we accumulate and where we trade and where we consume, it's a real danger for us, and it's a real modern Western 21st century thing that we need to think through. And I think that you can't escape the problem of greed and money and wealth in the world we live in. Greed is the currency of so much of our modern world, isn't it? It's how people go forward. It's how people make a living. It's how people move up the chain of, you know, promotion and command. But what does the Bible have to say about greed? And this morning, I want to take you on a brief tour through the scriptures, through a few places that are very important and very clear about the nature of greed. The passage which was read before for us clearly articulates, I think, maybe more clearly than anywhere else, that greed is idolatry. Have a look at verse 5 in front of you. It says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." We read a similar thing in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. "A greedy person, such a man or woman, is an idolater." Jesus himself says, maybe most famously, "You cannot serve both God and money." It's interesting to note that Jesus has far more to say about greed than sex. Yet almost no one thinks they're guilty of the idolatry of greed. Brian Rosner, who's a lecturer at Moore College, has written a book, Beyond Greed, and in his book he says, "Greed is idolatry in that, like the literal worship of idols, it represents an attack on God's exclusive rights to human love, trust, and service." And he concludes, "Material things can replace God." You see, when we love, when we trust, and when we obey stuff or experience or wealth or whatever it might be, we fall into greed and we commit idolatry. I think love is perhaps easily seen when you flip the TV on each afternoon and there's those game shows on each afternoon. And, you know, the people get on the show and they're pumped, they're excited, and they just want to, you know, "What did you come here for, sir?" "I came to win the big bucks." And what happens when, you know, on Deal or No Deal, they open a case and the $200,000 number's in it? What do? Maybe you see it most clearly in their disappointment of when the big bucks go missing. People love money. And these shows, I think, are all based on the fact that people are generally greedy. Can you say, "No, I'll take the money, thanks"? Or will you go on for more? And, you know, they work on the fact that people are greedy. I think that if people weren't greedy, these shows would be altogether rather boring. You might think that they're boring already, but I think they'd be altogether maybe rather even more boring. They take the first offer. They come with nothing. They open 6 cases. 5 minutes later, they walk out of the building with $5,000. That's not a bad way to earn a living, is it? 6 boxes, 5 minutes, $5,000. But people don't take the first offer. "I can get the big bucks." It'd be boring TV. It'd be axed if people were content. People are greedy and they love money. I think trust is witnessed sometimes when, you know, we get the mail and we open our bank statement and We either breathe a huge sigh of relief, or perhaps we spiral into despair over the state of our finances. It's interesting to note, I've been driving back and forward to Sutherland this week, and there's this bridge that goes over the Princes Highway down near Blakehurst, and it says, it's ANZ's current advertisement. This is what they're pinning there, you know, this is how we get customers. Their statement is, the advertising line, own tomorrow. Own tomorrow. And, right? Trust. Trust money to deliver your future. Trust money to give you what you need. Trust money to look after your future. I think obedience is pretty easily seen when, you know, we're watching TV and we're assaulted by these ads, you know, every 5 minutes in every show there's ads coming up. And we sit there mindlessly and, you know, sometimes I think, I never knew I needed, you know, a pet egg. I never knew I needed these sorts of things. You know, I never knew I needed this tremendous thing that cuts tomatoes. I thought a knife was doing just fine. And we see these things and we obey. We follow the advertisement's call and you know, we get on the phone and we order, or, you know, we get our keys and get in the car and we drive off to Roselands or to Westfields or to wherever, and we worship. See, greed is idolatry. We can fall into the habit of loving, trusting and obeying stuff that's not God. And when we love and we trust and we obey possessions like that, we're taking things that are good, right? We're taking good things and we're making them ultimate things. And God tells us that this is idolatry. And I think it's clear that in our modern world, this is the predominant, this is the dominating religion of the times. But I wonder if on a census form, when you know they've got that religion question, you have to tick a box. I wonder when... If in that list of, you know, proposed religious affiliation groups, you if the topic of greed, you know, if greed was just in that list somewhere, whether anyone would tick it. I don't know about you, I probably wouldn't tick it. I wouldn't want to be described as a greedy person. You know, someone asks you the question, oh, what religion do you ascribe to? Oh, well, you know, I'm just flat out greedy. What about you? Right, we don't want that to be said about ourselves. We don't want to say that, you know, I mean, no one wants that to be said about them. Greed is almost universally seen as undesirable. But it's all around us, isn't it? And we're often so blind to those idols that are most threatening to us. We're often completely oblivious to the thing which is so powerful and so likely to enslave us. And that's why it can and does enslave us. It's subtle. It flies under the radar. It's something good that we make an ultimate thing. See, greed is when we take something like wealth or something like possessions or, you know, whatever it might be, and we make it an ultimate thing. And I think the fact that in Sydney we live so well, we are very affluent here in Sydney, clearly portrays that we're in danger here. Here's a quick test to see if, you know, you're perhaps disposed to committing the idolatry of greed. Think about these questions in your mind. Do I spend money to relax? Do I feel incomplete when I don't have my gadgets? Have luxuries become normalies in my life? Do I go to the toilet when the show's on so I don't miss the ads? Do I know the shopping centre floor plan like the back of my hand, yet struggle to give directions to people to church? Am I so overcommitted that I don't have any expendable money to be generous? If you answered yes to one or more of these, then greed is a problem. Greed is something we need to think hard about. Greed is hard to see, and our eyes are so closed to one of our biggest dangers because of where and how we live. Now, I guess it needs to be said today, money is not bad, right? Money is not bad in and of itself. Don't take that message home. Riches are not by necessity evil or bad or whatever. The New Testament reminds us that it is the love of money that produces all kinds of evil. When we love money, we'll serve it, we'll obey it, we'll serve and obey, and we'll do anything to get it. Even maybe lie, cheat, and steal. See, the love of money is greed, and it leads us away from the true and living God. It replaces him, takes his place, usurps his authority, and helps us to wander away from him, doesn't it? See, greed is idolatry, and we've got to be careful. Well, having established, I hope, in your minds that greed is idolatry, and I want to outline now why greed is misplaced love, trust, and obedience. Why greed is misplaced love, trust, and obedience. Well, firstly, Jesus says that our life is more than possessions. He tells us that in Luke 12. He says, "Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." I mean, we know that, don't we? It makes sense. You don't have to be too clever to hear Jesus' logic here. You don't have to be too clever to get that life is more than stuff. And I mean, none of us here would be, you know, ever fall into the trap of measuring our life's worth by what we have or what we live in or what we drive around in. Or would we? See, it's stupid to think that life is about possessions and stuff. And even the NRMA knows this. I received this advertisement in the Post the other day. It's addressed to the owner of worldly possessions. And then on the other side, it says, "For as little as $5 a week, you can protect your stuff." And inside, it's an advertisement to call me to protect my... They say to the owner of worldly possessions, right? They know this stuff doesn't last, but then they call on me to make sure that I do all my best to ensure that I don't lose it. I find that a rather strange irony. I don't hear me say insurance is bad. I just think that this is a strange marketing scheme. They tell me on the one hand they're worldly and that they don't last, and then they call on me on the inside to make sure I spend my money insuring them and looking after them. I think that's quite an irony. See, God tells us that we need to be on watch for all types of greed. Maybe it's experiential kind of greed, relational. Maybe it's possessional. Maybe it's personal, maybe financial for you. We can be greedy in so many sorts of ways. And it's almost human to be greedy, I think. Have you ever noticed that you don't need to teach children to be greedy? I was a primary school teacher before I went to college, and that lesson is well learnt by me. Rather, you have to teach kids to share, don't you? You're forever saying, share, no, share, little Johnny, share. You never have to tell them to be greedy. See, don't place your love, your trust, and your obedience in possessions, because life is more than possessions. Well, secondly, I think the scriptures tell us that wealth is uncertain. In 1 Timothy 6, we read, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain." Right, this lesson has been learnt in the near past, hasn't it? It's most obvious in the current kind of global financial distress that we're experiencing. Money can just disappear. A few numbers on a screen change, and all of a sudden the world is cast into turmoil. The reason we shouldn't love, trust, or obey our money and our possessions and greed after those things is because wealth is uncertain. It can go in a moment, it can disappear, it's uncertain, and it's temporary. And thirdly, I think it just doesn't work. Clear and simple, it just doesn't work. In the end, material things don't work, do they? Who feels great and fulfilled, you know, when they sit at home with all their stuff? The more we find our contentment in material things, the more we want more material things. We're always looking to upgrade. We're always looking to get the next best model. We're always thinking, if I could just get what my neighbour down the road has, then maybe my life would be more content. And then you get what the neighbour's got down the road, and then all of a sudden you think, now I need to get the new updated version. You know, we're never, it's a constant thirst, it's a cycle. The great theologian Winnie the Pooh teaches us this lesson when he says, "The only thing better than a jar of honey is two jars of honey." Right, it just doesn't work. It doesn't fill the hole. It entices us to want more, to need more. And we see this in our culture and in our society with the addiction of gambling and poker machines, don't we? You know, sensible people who hold down jobs, and then they all of a sudden they get to the club and their mind kind of escapes them, and they think they can win big on a machine which is set to lose money, on a machine which is set to take their money off them, and they think, I can hit it rich. in a system that works off the loss of its participants. That's crazy, isn't it? In recent years, even, a number of secular academics and social commentators have made the point that if people are trying to get rich in order to get happy, it isn't working. Right, in one Sydney Morning Herald a few while back, we read, Western happiness has declined precisely in tandem with the rise of affluence. Western happiness has declined precisely in tandem with the rise of affluence. And the claim has similarly been made that there is actually evidence that those who strive most for wealth and tend to live for wealth alone live with a lower well-being. It's pretty condemning, isn't it? Money and stuff don't ultimately fulfill us. We're left with a hole. We're left with a hunger for something else. Wealth and possessions are misplaced. Love, trust, and obedience because, one, life is more than stuff. Two, wealth is uncertain. And three, because it just doesn't deliver. And so now I want to move on and speak about the right place that we should invest our love, our trust, and our obedience. You see, the right place to invest our love, our trust, and obedience is in God and not wealth. Colossians 3, at the start of that reading, tells us this well. It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. But the clear call here is to set your heart, right? What you long for, what you love, your affection. Set your mind, right? Your thinking, your trust, your obedience on things above, on God things, on things that last and things which do fulfill. See, the Christian hope is so much bigger than the possessions of this world. The Christian is heading for where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Jesus came into the world to show us that there's something more to live for. He died on the cross to provide the way to be able to get there, to where there is something that is lasting. That's why Jesus calls on us to store up treasure in heaven, where rust and mold cannot destroy and where thieves and robbers can't come in and take it. Store up a treasure that lasts, a heavenly hope. Jesus is spoken of in 2 Corinthians in this way. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Jesus provides for our most desperate need. And rich and wealth in this passage doesn't mean finances or possession or stuff. It means forgiveness before God. Jesus gave up all the glory, all the being right with God he had in heaven, came into the world as a man, died on a cross, and paid the price humanity owed to God once and for all. And not only that, but he rose again and provides a certain hope of a future with God, one that can't be taken away. You see, the right place to invest our love, our trust, and our obedience is right here. It's in Jesus that we find the right place to invest those things. Jesus is the only place where we won't be disappointed. Jesus is the only one who can provide a certain future. And Jesus is the only one that is worth being obedient to. Ryan Rosner, again in his book, says that the way out of greed is not simply to say no to something of limited value, but to say yes to something better. Right? Locate your love, your trust, your obedience in the one and true living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the call. And this is the answer to the idolatry of greed. And maybe today is the first time that you've kind of recognized this. Today might be the day for you to come back to God and to be saved, to start a new life that trusts Jesus instead of wealth, instead of possessions. And it is my desperate plea that today you would do that. Come back to God. And the answer to our greed and idolatry is to locate our love, our trust, and obedience in Jesus. Right, hear that clearly today. But how, I guess, as a Christian, can I kind of practically avoid being greedy? And I want to suggest three ways as we kind of move towards ending. The first one, I've already made the point. Go to Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. I do really want to stress that this morning. Loving, trusting Jesus is the only way out of greed. We have a new life to live, and Jesus provides the only way out of our idolatry of greed. Once doing that, I think there's some other things that we perhaps can do to be just on a human level being helping ourselves in this way. I think generosity is a great measure of how well you're travelling with greed. And on this note, it was such an encouragement earlier this year to see the way that the people of this church gathered together to raise a huge amount of funds in order to keep gospel work going in Erwood. What a great testimony to the witness, to the generosity, sorry, of this congregation and this church. And it was great to see. It was great to be a part of it. And keep on doing it. Keep on being generous. Maybe you need to start practicing giving it away more. Here's another pretty condemning question. How much of your income is spent on donations or on other people? It's a pretty condemning measure, isn't it? And you see, you don't necessarily have to spend your money on stuff to be greedy, I don't think. That's kind of surface greed, right? You go and you buy things and you just kind of accumulate stuff. But there's also kind of deep, hard to wash out kind of greed. Isn't there greed that leads to stinginess maybe? Or, tight-fisted with your money. You might know people like that. This is what we do when we need to keep our money in order to be safe, in order to be in control. You see, the answer is to go to Jesus. Practice being generous. You see, if we're generous just on our own without going to Jesus, that's not going to do anything. We're just going to feel good about ourselves maybe. You need to go to Jesus, practice being generous. Use what you have for the good of others. And I wonder, maybe there's a question how we need to ask ourselves more often. How can we use what we have for the good of others? I think for parents and grandparents here, there's a real call to teach your children, teach your grandchildren to be generous. So, do you think the best thing that you can leave behind for your children and your grandchildren is your wealth? Or is it a legacy of generosity as they follow Jesus? You see, a generosity that commends to them that wealth is not the ultimate thing, but Jesus is the ultimate thing. Put your trust in him. Thirdly, I think there's contentment. Contentment. It's a strange word, maybe you've never thought of that word. The third thing to mention is learn contentment. I wonder, is that a word that you would use to describe your life? I'm content. And contentment doesn't mean laziness or, slothfulness or, you're not ambitious. You can be ambitious and be a contented person. But be content. The scriptures remind us that godliness with contentment is great gain. How true that is. We can say we're truly content. That's a great thing to be able to say. It's a wise person who in a world which says, more, 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 who can stand back from it and say, actually, I'm pretty content. I don't need what you're trying to sell me because I trust Jesus. I think appreciation is really important in contentment as well. And once you realise how good someone's been to you and you appreciate that goodness, I think that leads to contentment in a way. You see, God has been so good to us. He's been so good to us. He's provided his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for our sins. He's made the way to him known. And I wonder, are you appreciative to God for what he's done for you? Then be content. Learn contentment. Well, to finish. You see, greed is idolatry because we can replace God with something else. We can replace God with wealth and with possessions. We can love, trust, and serve wealth and possessions. Secondly, we've heard wealth and possessions are misplaced love, trust, and obedience. Because Jesus says life is more than what you have. Secondly, wealth is uncertain. Thirdly, that it doesn't work. And the last thing we've heard, the second last thing, is Jesus is the only sure place to invest our trust and our love and our obedience. You need to hear that today. Jesus is the only sure place to invest your love, your trust, and your obedience. And after you do that, learning generosity and contentment is the way that the Christian life should and must be lived. Amen.